Wish to greet you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask you to help us to be faithful to you, to bring glory to you, and honor you in all that we do. Lord, give us wisdom as we open your words. Again, we just thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Greet you all this morning again in Jesus' name. Just going to read several scriptures here this morning. One of the things I want to talk about this morning is faithfulness and just being faithful. Now, I've heard the story about the question of, are you a thermostat or a thermometer? You know, a thermostat gets itself set where it's going, and then whatever the temperature does, it stays right there. It just stays right there. A thermostat or a thermometer up and down all the time, just a whirlwind. Just going up and down all the time. And the thermometer keeps itself no matter what the temperature does. Whenever we are just faithful, that's all that God requires for us to be. Just to be faithful. Faithfulness is a blessed character. Faithfulness deals with troubles as they come, and they just keep pressing right on through. Faithfulness sees situations as just something they've got to go through, not something that they got to fix and change everything about to make it more pleasing to me. Faithfulness is just consistent. The little song we used to sing it, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow." Oftentimes in my life, I didn't understand what all was going on. It hadn't got any better. But I have learned that walking through a desert, all I have to do is follow. I have to remain just faithful, calm and steady walking. The Bible is full of examples of being tempted and being tested, being tried to the very core of what we are. We see that's what happened to Jesus. We see the examples of David, the examples that were given, a lot of them today. And we see the one that God commends is the one that makes it through those trials and goes right on. Not every time does, when the trials come, does everybody just do just right? But that don't matter. It's what is left at the end of the trial that is all that matters. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But in the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. The revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffer as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is written, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." And I want to read in Luke chapter 22. And there arose also, or verse 24, and there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, "The Gentiles, the king of the Gentiles, lord it over them. And those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like his youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who reclines at the table. Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." But he said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And he said, "I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you do not know me, that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you out without money, belt and bag and sandals, did you not lack anything? You did not lack anything, did you?" They said, "No, nothing." And he said to them, "But now, whoever has a money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag, and whoever has no sword is to sell his coat and buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for that which he refers to me has its fulfillment." They said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." I'm going to stop there just a moment. Jesus is talking to his disciples. They were debating about who's going to do this and who's going to do that, or who's going to be highest among them. And Jesus said, "Pray lest you fall into temptations. I come to you as one that just serves." Whenever we see Christ here, he saw what was coming upon him. And he went to the garden and he prayed. "Lord, I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see happening. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Not my will, but thine be done. You know, we talk a lot about prayer. There's a lot of talk about prayer. Prayer is not trying to get God to fix things for us and to do things for us. Prayer is trying to get us yielded to God's will, whatever that is. Whatever comes about, all we have to do is go through it. And when Jesus prayed, he saw something terrible coming upon him. And his prayer was, "Lord, thy will be done." Whenever we step out of "thy will be done," we're trying to change, have God, we're trying to fix the plans to fit our way instead of God's way. Jesus told them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." He told them here twice, and they said, for sorrow, they fell asleep. Verse 47, it says, "And while he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?' When those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, 'Lord, shall we strike with the sword?' And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, 'Stop, no more of this.' And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had came against him, 'Have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the power of darkness is yours.' Having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house to the high priest, and Peter was following at a distance. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was sitting among them, and a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently upon him, said, 'This man was with him too.' But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know you. I do not know him.' A little later, another saw him and said, 'You're one of them too.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, 'Certainly, this man also was with them, for he is a Galilean too.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you're talking about.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Behold, a rooster crows today. Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him and beating him. And they blindfolded him and were asking him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it who hit you?" And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming. When it was day, the council of the elders and the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." And they said to him, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "Yes, I am." Then they said to him, "What further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it out of ourselves from his own mouth." Christ was crucified. They crucified him. And he stood with the transgressors. You know, somebody brought out this morning that God Himself is on trial. Just the idea that God Himself is on trial. How many people in this world do you think look at the world and the situation and the things that are going on in the world, don't look up at God and say, "Why do you let this happen?" We look up at God and we say, there must not be a loving God up there to allow some of the things that happen to people in this world. How could a loving God let people suffer and go hungry the way He does? How could a loving God allow all these calamities and sicknesses and diseases fall upon this world? And they condemn Him because of what they see. But there's a few people that can look past all of that and see that there can still be a good God out there that wants better for us. But we have to look past some of the smoke and the circumstances and the destruction and all of that to see that behind a frowning providence, there's a smiling face of a good God. You know, appearances all through the Bible, there's been examples of things that appear all wrong. The example of David ate the showbread. And the men that gave it to him were all killed. Just because of what they were going to be faithful. There's a faithfulness that goes beyond just what we see. You know, a friend sticks by a friend no matter what happens. They don't turn their back on him. A friend stays right with someone no matter what they go through. Jesus tells us to forgive 7 times 7. 7 times 7. There's a loyalty and a faithfulness that goes with that. That comes from that. That comes from something deeper inside us than just what we see on the outside. Jesus said in chapter 22, we read, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials. You stood by me. All the world is condemning me for all of these things, but you stood by me." A person doesn't have to be right or wrong to be a friend. Character goes beyond all of that. Faithfulness and loyalty goes deeper than a few outward circumstances. Whenever we stand before the Lord on the judgment day, well, this here in Peter where we read, judgment must begin with us. Judgment begins with us. And we're going to be tested to what we're made of. These things, these characters, these characteristics that the Bible talks about, loving your enemies and doing good to those that hate you, blessing those that curse you, a lot of times a lot of these things happen, there's no reason for it. In fact, oftentimes you try to help somebody and they turn against you. That's just exactly what Jesus is talking about whenever you bless those that curse you. You know, it's not much to forgive someone if they really haven't hurt you very bad. It's pretty easy to forgive someone that hadn't done anything to you too bad, or someone you're not close to. I don't know how many people I know, brothers and sisters, family, that won't talk to each other because they think somebody hurt them. That's exactly when you need to be forgiven. It's whenever it hurts the most. That's when real mercy opens the door. That's when real forgiveness comes in and real kindness. Character is a lot deeper than just what shows up on the outside. Read a little poem, somebody, I think Floyd found it, about a young boy running a race. He took off in the race and he was just running way ahead of everybody. And he ran through the ditch and got tangled up and fell, and everybody ran past him. He just said, "Oh, it's no use. I'm going to give up. I'm going to quit right now." But he looked around and he saw his dad saying, "Get up, get up, get up. Go." And he decided, "I'm not going to let my dad down." And he jumped up and he ran again. And he was just about to get ahead of them all again. And he was just running with all he had. And his feet got running faster in his mind. And he tripped again and fell. And he just decided, there's no use at all now. Forget it. I'm just done with this. He looked around and he could still see his dad. Just, "Get up, go." So he jumped up and ran again, way behind. But he said, I'm gonna do my best." And he just ran and ran and ran and ran. And just about caught up again, and he tripped again. This time he is out of sight of his dad. And he's just laying there completely defeated. "There's no way I can ever catch up and win the race now." But he just thought of how his dad was out there just coaching him on. He just thought of his dad and how disappointed he'd be. So he got up again and just ran with all his might and finished dead last. And everybody was cheering for him because he didn't give up. We can stay in a safe place in this world. We can stay in a nice, safe plateau and just keep ourselves all protected. Or we can run the risk of running this race with all our heart. And I'm told you from the very beginning, the only people who are going to finish this race are going to be the ones who run it with all their heart. That'll take the risk. That'll lay down everything and run this race. And if you're trying to hold on to something, if you're trying to keep everything looking just the way you think it ought to be, when that fire comes, it'll all be, when the test comes, it's not going to be too pretty. The race is only to those who are going to give it everything. If you want to just come in here and just kind of step back on the sidelines and say, well, yeah, I'm going to watch this thing for a while, see what it does, you're a spectator, not being a part of the race. We're in this together. You may fall sometime and I may fall sometime. But it's those who just keep encouraging and keep pressing on and keep banding together and keep going on. You know, the Bible talks about David and his mighty men. That list of those mighty men that did mighty things for David. Most of them men got chased out of town when Absalom rose up against him. But they stayed right with him. When Saul was against him, they were in a cave, trapped. And David said, oh, I'd like to have a drink of water. Some of them mighty men broke out through the whole army, ran to Jerusalem, brought him a drink, fought their way back through and got back to where he was. And he couldn't even drink it because it's too precious what these men had done. The reason Absalom rose up is because David had done wrong. He had committed adultery and killed a man. That's why Absalom rose up. But his mighty men stood right with him. And his mighty men are the ones the Bible talks about. It's not the ones who fled when the trouble got hard. I'm just asking that we just put our heads down and walk through whatever God has for us. It's all we ask of anyone. It's all we've ever asked of anyone. Be faithful. The Bible says we will be tested. And there's not a sin in being tested. It's part of life. If you're going to step out and follow the Lord, there isn't many people going to agree with you. Sometimes nobody will. But our friendship and our fellowship is deeper than all of that. The church is a commitment to life, to stand by its principles and the things that we believe. Hard times are bad, popular or unpopular. We believe there's a church. We believe there's a church. We may not understand how everybody does or how everybody acts, but there's core principles that we're going to stand on together and not be tossed about by a few circumstances. We either believe what we're doing or we don't. We're either going to be found faithful to our principles and our character, whether we understand everything or not. It's those who endure to the end that are going to be found faithful. You know, we see sometimes soldiers on the street, and I don't know how many of these people, soldiers, policemen, come up, and when we're talking about loving your enemy and not being non-resistant, will come up and try to stop us from doing what we're doing. And then once in a great while, one man will step up and say to the whole crowd, seen it happen, "The reason I fought was to give him the right to say whatever he wants to say. And I'll fight you all for it right here on this dirt. Not something overseas." I don't agree with all of that, but that man has got some character. Willing to stand up against what he sees is against him, for his principles and for his characters. For his character. That's the kind of man I want standing beside me. That's all we need. Look past what we think we see. See who we are. May the Lord add His blessings.
Okay. Not necessarily. necessarily come to the time about it, but read it.
Okay. Principle that we've tried to establish, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's nice to have until you've got to try to let somebody else do it. Then it's tested. Well, the reason it's a test is because it's a test. The test isn't superficial. It's something that gets right down to the heart of things. Well, we'll see you all back here this evening then, Lord willing. 6 o'clock. God bless you.
Why? Thank you. Amen.